إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي أبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم وهو أصدق القائلين: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide, and whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is none to guide aright. تكلمنا في الجمعة الماضية عن فضل القرآن وكيف أن الإنسان إذا فهم القرآن يكون هناك ارتباط روحي ونفسي مع القرآن، والحل إلى ذلك أو مفتاح ذلك هو تدبر القرآن. So last Jum'ah we spoke about reflecting on the Quran and reading the Quran and having this personal connection with the Quran. If you don't read the Quran, if you just put it on the shelf and you don't read it and reflect on it, you will not get the barakah, the benefit of this Quran, and you will not be able to live your life according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for you. We said before in one of the khutbahs, when you buy an iPhone or a Samsung, or you buy a laptop, or you buy a new car, it usually comes with a manual. And in the manual they tell you, if you use this product in this way, this is what you do, this is what you will avoid, you will maximize the benefit of this machine or this item that you got. In the same way, we as human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our manufacturer, and He sent us the manual, something to live your life by. And if you live your life according to the Quran, this is your manual, you will maximize the benefit of your life here, and you will achieve salvation, najah, in the akhirah. So the Quran is the book of life. And hatta when people read Surah Yasin, that is usually associated with the dying, people read it on the dead or those who are dying, and this is based on a hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in that surah, لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيَّ. This Quran is a reminder to those who are truly alive. So it's a book of life. It is not just for the dead. Because as we said before, if you go back home, and like in my village, and someone is playing the Quran in their house, the first thing you say, who died? Like, mimmat. Because for some people, the Quran is only associated with the dead. But the Quran is the book of the living, those who are truly alive. We mentioned last time that the Quran is relevant. يعني يناسب كل الأزمنة وكل الأماكن. It is suitable for all times and all places. And we need to understand a couple of things before we continue our discussion about the Quran. To be able to appreciate the ni'mah of the Quran, you have to read it, understand it, and reflect upon it. So we said the Quran is relevant, it is suitable for all times and places. And when you look at the teachings of the Quran, there are two types of teachings. Because people say, well, it was revealed 1500 years ago, now we live in the 21st century, you know, everything is different, we live in a different country and in a different society and the culture is different. How can the Quran accommodate us in here, in North America in the 21st century? We have to realize there are two sets of teaching in the Quran. There is ibadat, tawheed, umuman, وفي المعاملات. So there are two types of teachings in the Quran. The first one is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed or theology, and this never changes. And Allah will always be one. You will pray Maghrib 3 rakats. You will always fast in Ramadan. So this does not change, it will never change. The second type is human interactions, al-mu'amalat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about your relationship with Him, what He wants from you, the things that you need to do and the things you need to avoid, it's very clear. It's very specific and detailed. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about human interactions, our relationships together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell you, do the halal, stay away from the haram. So it's very open for interpretation. So this is why if people to choose to govern themselves in a certain way that is in accordance with the teachings of Islam, the number of people they choose in the government, if they have traffic lights, paying their taxes, respecting your neighbors, all of this, it falls under Sharia. Even if some of these things are not specified very clearly, we know that it is acceptable in Sharia. There is nothing wrong if you follow the traffic light, because this protects human life, which is one of the objectives in Sharia. The other thing about the Sharia, the second teaching, is when it talks about haram, it specifies 1, 2, 3 in the Quran and also in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If it talks about the halal, it is very general. Yani say for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the haram things to eat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very specific, because the number of things that are haram is very small in number. So He will tell you, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. He will tell you, I have made it haram for you to eat pork, to drink alcohol, to drink running blood, to eat dead animals. It's very specific, it's a short list. But when it comes to halal items, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Everything that is good and pure is halal. It doesn't specify, because the halal is more than the haram. So we need to keep this in mind when we think about the Quran. Number two, the Quran was written down at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Because this is a common question I get, that, you know, was the Quran written at the time of the Prophet ﷺ? Do we have different versions of the Quran? It is only one. It was written at the time of Muhammad ﷺ entirely. Each surah was written individually, but it was not in one volume. This was done within 2 years of the Prophet's death, at the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, at the request of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. The manuscript was kept with the Khalifa Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then it moved to Hafsa radiallahu anhu, and at the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, many copies were made, they were sent out. So the Quran that we have in Canada is the same Quran like in Pakistan, in Japan, in Turkey, it's all the same Quran. It is the same copy of the Quran. There is no difference in any of these copies. The only thing that I mentioned last time was a slight pronunciation of certain words, and this is where we get the Qira'at from. But the meaning is always the same. The surahs were arranged at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the same order we have today, from Fatiha to Surah Nas. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know from the hadith in Bukhari, used to review the Quran with Jibreel Alayhi Salam once every year in Ramadan. But the year he passed away, he reviewed it twice. And the Sahaba like Ubay ibn Ka'b, they were there. They used to write down for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is the order we have today. Even the names of the surahs we used at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Sahaba would tell us in authentic hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in Salatul Fajr, Yawm al-Jum'ah, he would read Surah Sajdah. In Khutbatul Jum'ah, he would mention or read Surah Qaf, for example. They mentioned the names. Or the Prophet ﷺ stood one night to pray Qiyam or Tahajjud at night, and he read Surah Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, Surah Nisa, Surah Ma'idah. They mentioned the names. So everything was done at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The other thing is, as I mentioned, the arrangements of the surahs was done at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And we know that the first surah that was revealed was Surah Iqra Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, the first five ayat. So how come that Iqra Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq is not surah number one in the Quran? Surah Fatiha is. Because, as I mentioned, the surahs were revealed in response to some circumstances at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like the Battle of Badr, Hijrah, this, that. But before the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the surahs were arranged in the same order we have them today. And while I was working on the Clear Quran translation for 4 years, I was studying the connections between the surahs, and subhanAllah, it's mind-blowing. And I put this in the introductions to each surah. We have about 5 to 7 lines as an introduction for every surah. And in that introduction, I connected the surah, this one, with the one before and the one after, and it is amazing. If you read Surah Fatiha, for example, Surah Fatiha is basically like a road map, like a table of contents for the whole Quran. So if you read Surah Fatiha, it talks about your relationship with Allah, this world and Akhirah. We rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and assistance. Then it talks about three types of people. And these three types of people are detailed in Surah Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, and Surah Nisa. So the Surah Fatiha is basically like the table of contents for the whole Quran, starting with the first long surahs. If you read, for example, some surahs, the ending of one surah is connected with the next one. Sometimes we don't realize it, but when you read and reflect, this connection becomes very clear. So for example, the last ayah of Surah Al-Hajj, the last couple of ayat, ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, it talks about salah and ibadah. Then the next surah, Surah Mu'minun, Surah 23, it talks about قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. It talks about salah and khushu' in salah. So the two surahs are connected. And even that, subhanAllah, in some surahs, one surah will end with a certain ayah, and the exact words are used in the first ayah of the next surah. In Surah Tur, وَإِدْبَارَ النُّجُومِ, إِدْبَارَ النُّجُومِ means before Fajr, when the stars set, they disappear. The next surah is Surah Najm, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى, when the stars fade away or they set. The exact words are used. Some surahs complete each other, like Surah Saffat and Surah Sad. They complete each other. When you read them, you feel like they are one surah. Because one of them gives you four or five stories, the next one gives you three more stories, the stories are not repeated, and they complete each other. Sometimes, the surah will talk about some concepts, and the next surah will give you the exact same concepts. Yani, say for example, Surah Rahman. It talks about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, He is the provider, and it talks about three types of people. The people of the right, the people of the left, and the muqarrabun. Surah Waqi'ah talks exactly about the same things, the exact same themes, but in reverse order. But the exact same themes. All the way to Surah Nas, when you read Surah Nas, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord. We rely on Him for protection and assistance. And this is the theme of Surah Fatiha. It's like full circle. So when you finish the Quran, you go back. So all the surahs are connected. So this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not have done something like this. The other thing about the Quran, as I mentioned, that some people, like missionaries and stuff, they would question the Quran and say, why does it say this and why does it say that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear in the Quran. If this Quran was from anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would find a lot of contradictions inside the Quran. But it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we spoke last time about the falsification test, produce one like it, or find a mistake inside. No one was able to meet the challenge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another way of proving that this Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about things that happened in the past that no one knew about. And He will give us some things that will happen in the future that no one knew about at the time of revelation. In Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. This Quran is a mighty book. لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ, يعني it cannot be proven false from any angle. From the composition of the Quran, from the style, from the facts, from the historical facts in the Quran, scientific facts in the Quran, you cannot prove it false. You cannot prove it false. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, in some of the ayat in the Quran, He will tell the Prophet ﷺ, in many places in the Quran, you didn't know about this. How come that it is mentioned in the Quran? Like so, for example, the story of Nuh alayhi salam in Surah Hud, the story of Nuh alayhi salam with his son, when he said, come with us on the ship, and don't be with the kuffar or you will drown. This story is not mentioned in the Bible, it cannot be found anywhere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him in the same surah, مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ. You Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, You didn't know the story. No one knew about it. How come that now you know about it? It's from me. And in the Surah Yusuf, the story of the witness who said, no, she tore his shirt from the back. This story is not in the Bible. The story of the women and the walima, وَاَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَى. It is not in the Bible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of the surah, وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ. You were not there when they were making all these conspiracies about Yusuf. How come that now you know? وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ إِذْ قَضَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى الْأَمْرِ. You were not there by Mount Tur when we revealed the Quran about the story of Musa to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Telling Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you were not there. You were not a witness. No one knew about this. So these are things that happened in the past that no one knew about. The Quran talks about future things that will happen in the future that no one knew about at the time of revelation. And the best example is at the beginning of Surah Rum, Surah number 30 of the Quran. Alif Lam Mim Ghulibatir Rum fi adna al-ard wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sa'libun fi bid'i sinin. So at the beginning of Surah Rum, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that the Romans at that time, there were two superpowers at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The Persian Empire to the east and the Roman Empire to the north and the west. So the Romans were defeated and the Persians were victorious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning of the surah, yes, the Romans have been defeated, but they will be victorious fi bid'i sinin. The word bid'i in Arabic means from 3 to 9 years. Then the Romans became victorious after 8 years. No one knew about this. And the defeat of the Romans was so, like, they were destroyed. No one would imagine that they would be victorious in a few number of years, right? So when this was revealed, the people of Mecca were making fun of the Prophet ﷺ. And after 8 years, the people of the Persians were defeated. And in some tafsirs, the exact same day that the people of Mecca were defeated at the Battle of Badr. The exact same day. Because when the Romans were defeated, they were Ahl al-Kitab Christians. Muslims were not happy. And the people of Mecca were happy because the Persians were pagans like them. So the Quran says, no. Yes, they were defeated, they were vanquished, but they would be victorious in 3 to 9 years. And it happened after 8 years. The other thing is, who would have known at the time of the Prophet ﷺ? Now this word used at the beginning of Surah Rum, fi adna al-ard. Most of us here, they say the Romans were defeated fi adna al-ard, in the nearby land, which is Palestine, Jordan, in that area around al-Bahr al-Mayt, the Dead Sea. They say fi adna al-ard, a nearby land, because it's close to Arabia. We know in Arabic, the word adna is the opposite of a'la. A'la means high, adna means very low. So the other day I was reading on NASA website, and they say that this area, Palestine and Jordan, around the Dead Sea, is the lowest point in the whole world, on Earth. 1,300 feet below the sea level. That's 400 meters below the sea level. And they say very clearly, if you go to their website, put Dead Sea, and it says the Dead Sea, this area, where the battle took place, the Adn al-Ard, is the lowest point on earth. So who knew about this at the time of the Prophet ﷺ? At that time we mentioned he didn't have a telescope, he didn't have a microscope. How did he know about this? It came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The development of the baby inside the mother, the expansion of the universe, وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. All of this is mentioned in the Quran. All of this is mentioned in the Quran. And I'm really happy when someone in the West will discover something like a breakthrough, and we come out and say, oh, but it has been in the Quran for 1500 years. Because you're lazy, and you didn't study, and you didn't reveal it to the world. You wait till someone from outside will come and say, oh, we discovered this. Well, we should be the first ones to read and find these gems in the Quran and share them with the world. Another thing that is mentioned about the Quran, I always get the question, the Quran has some mistakes in it. We will not talk about the grammatical mistakes because the person who is raising the question cannot even read Arabic. How do you know it's a mistake if you don't know Arabic? You have to read the Arabic itself. And as I said, the Quran is the standard for the Arabic language. The Arabic is not the standard for the Quran. So we use the Quran to set the standard for the Arabic language. And as I said, because people don't know those who attack the Quran, they say grammatical mistakes, they don't speak Arabic, they don't know Nahw and Sarf and grammar. And for them it's a mistake, but for those who master the Arabic language, it is not a mistake. This is the standard in the Arabic language. So they say, for example, in Surah Kaf, you read every Jummah, وَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ. So I get the question, I got it like 2 weeks ago. How come that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the sun sets in the mud, in Surah Al-Kahf, in the story of Dhul-Qarnayn? Well, first of all, the ayah says that it appeared to Dhul-Qarnayn to be sitting in the mud. And this style is very common in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk to you from your own perspective. Yani say, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ, Allah says, the creation of the galaxies, the universe, is more difficult than the creation of human beings. This is from our perspective, but from His perspective, all is the same. كُنْ فَيَكُنْ, He creates the galaxies, the solar system, or the Milky Way system, with the word kun, the same way He creates a human being. It is not, none of them is difficult for Him. But this is from our own perspective, that this one is more sophisticated than this one. So He talks to us from our own perspective. In the story of Musa alayhi salam, when the burning bush, as they call it, ra'a nar. Actually, it was not nar. It was light, nur. But Musa alayhi salam thought it was nar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and burika man fi nari wa man hawla, those who are at the fire, wa man hawla, the angels. Allah calls it fire, because the point was not to discuss with Musa alayhi salam the first time they met if it was fire or light. The focus is Tawheed, you are a prophet, deliver the message. That was not the point, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk to people from their own perspective. So it appeared to Dhul-Qarnayn, it was sitting in the mud. And actually, when we read the news every day, and even on your phone, it says that sunrise is at this time, sunset is at this time. The sun actually doesn't rise and it doesn't set. This is what appears to us. The sun doesn't set and it doesn't rise. The sunset and sunrise happens because of the Earth's rotation around its axis, right? So you can say that this, all people say the sun sets and it rises, it's a scientific mistake. But this is what people understand. So we use it this way. The other one, very quickly, is when they say, Ya Ukhta Harun. When the people of Maryam alayhi salam said, oh, sister of Harun, how come you came with a boy and you're not married? So, because Ukhta Harun, Harun is the brother of Musa alayhi salam, he died centuries before. How come that she is called Ukhta Harun, the sister of Harun? We use this style in Arabic. Like, say for example, if I throw some good punches, you call me Akhu Muhammad Ali, the brother of Muhammad Ali Clay, right? Akhu, twins. But because you compare someone to another in equality, so you can say that he is his brother. Akhu Hatim al-Ta'i, his brother in generosity, and so on and so forth. So this style is very common. And the other thing is, in the Quran, just like the Bible, some names are repeated. Just because the father of Maryam alayhi salam, Maryam ibnata Imran, her father's name was Imran, it does not mean that it was Imran, the father of Musa and Harun. These names are very common. I'll give you another example. In the Quran, there are two Shu'aibs. Shu'aib the prophet and Shu'aib the father of the two women in Surah Qasas. And Musa alayhi salam got married to one of them. This is a different Shu'aib. There are two Musas in the Quran. Musa alayhi salam the prophet, and there is Musa as-Samiri. His name was Musa as well. In the Bible, there are so many Yusufs. There are so many Maryams and so on and so forth. So just because a name is very common, it does not mean it's a mistake in the Quran. This is a common name. Just like Muhammad here, Yusuf, Ibrahim, we have so many here in this community. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة العالمين. So I'm gonna kindly ask you to move forward. The people are waiting outside. So in the last minute, inshallah, for the life of this khutbah, a couple of rulings related to Dhul-Hijjah, Udhiyah Qurbani, and also the day of Eid. Because this Eid, inshallah, the day of Eid, will also happen to be, inshallah, the day of Jummah. So what is the ruling? Do you have to come for Salatul Jummah or not? So we'll discuss this very briefly, inshallah. We know that when the first day of Dhul Hijjah comes, for the next 10 days, those who plan to offer a qurbani, from the sunnah, some say wajib, but it is sunnah. It is mustahab, it is not fard. So it is sunnah not to trim your hair or fingernails. It is sunnah. If someone does it, alhamdulillah, they stick to the sunnah, they give the reward. But if someone forgot, it is not a big deal. You don't have to do anything about it. And someone was asking, I'm planning to offer udhiyah, and the fingernails and the hair, I know the ruling, but what about intimacy with one spouse, husband or wife? This ruling only applies to the people who are there in Mecca for the Hajj. It doesn't apply to you here. Only if you go for Hajj, it applies. Intimacy is not allowed, but if you are here, it is permissible. Only for the Hujjaj. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ اللَّهُ الرَّفَثُ اللَّهُ الْجِمَعُ. So this ruling is only for the Hujjaj, the people who do Hajj, not for the regular people like us. The second thing, so of course, once you offer your udhiyah, or your agent, if you send it back home to Egypt, Pakistan, other countries, Turkey, then as soon as your agent offers the udhiyah on your behalf, now you can shave and now you can trim your fingernails. The ruling is khalas, is finished in this case. The second ruling and the last one for today, if Eid arrives on the day of Jummah, these are two Eids. So the scholars, and this is the chosen opinion, if you come for Salatul Eid in the morning, you don't have to come for Salatul Jummah, but you have to pray Dhuhr. Some say you don't pray Dhuhr. No. You have to pray Dhuhr. Wherever you are, if you come for Salatul Eid, you don't have to come for Salatul Jummah. You can pray Dhuhr wherever you are. But if you miss Salatul Eid in the Masjid, in this case, you have to come for Jummah. And the reason is the Prophet ﷺ didn't want to make it difficult for people to come all the way for Eid and to come all the way for Jummah, especially those who live far away. So in this case, the same ruling applies. If you come to Eid in the morning, you don't have to come for Salatul Jum'ah, but you pray Salatul Dhuhr. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَصَلِ اللَّهُمَّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ